Welcome, guys.
Hey, guys.
I'm back and I have company.
Right?
Yeah. So I have to introduce you to two people. You're probably going to see some pictures of who they are, but they are very famous people where I live right now. And that's because they specialize in so many things that can help every single one of us. So first, let's start with Nikki.
Hi.
I meet first, right? Nikki is actually the wife of one of my husband's co-workers, and we got to introduce to our each other, you know, in one of the, what's it, like the wives?
It was a spouse's coffee.
Spouse's coffee.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And after that, I found out how great she was, and I was like, I want to be her friend. And I'm like, no, she, you know, because you find people who you can talk to.
100%.
And about topics that interest you, and I was like, I got to have that girl on my podcast one day. And we did one, like, last Christmas, actually.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, where you were the main voice. You were, like, the introduction of the podcast. So welcome, Nikki.
Thank you for having me again.
I know. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that we've been able to still have communication and still being able to now work in another ways with each other. So thank you so much for letting me into your space again.
That is so appreciated of you. Thank you so much for having me.
And then in addition, Nikki now introduced me to another wonderful human being that I have learned to take so much from her. And this is Maya.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Happy to be here. Thank you for letting me join you guys in your conversation today.
I'm so happy you're here, Maya, because I think a lot of the topics we're going to talk about is related to what you do.
Yes, I talk all things money. So if you want, oh yeah, I know. I usually like to play a song, you know, but I want to make sure that we're connecting on all things money related, because right now it's an important part of the conversation, especially as we are in the holiday season and trying to set our goals up for next year.
So as you guys know, you guys don't know, actually, I'm lying. I haven't told my listeners what I've been working on lately, but I've been volunteering my time, and that's the reason why I haven't been podcasting that much, to the community. And you guys work in the community, and I feel like working in this community has made such an impact in how I manage my life and how I see myself and what I want to be in the future and what my goals are. I think in relation to that is the more people that I get to know here in Base and the more people that I approach is the more I can grow and the more that I see a potential in each of you, more of an inspiration as well into the things that I can learn. So now you guys know why they're here today. So in order for them to know a little bit more, can you, Nikki, tell us what exactly do you do for the community?
Okay, so my husband is in the military, so I'm a military spouse. But first and foremost, I am a licensed social worker. So I work for the Family Advocacy Program. For those who are listening and not sure what the Family Advocacy Program is, it is kind of related to CPS in the States. So I do a lot of stuff for families, especially those are at risk, meaning if they have issues in regards to like domestic violence and child abuse and stuff like that. And we're trying to actually prevent it. So before it happens, that is my goal and also what I do. I do a lot of prevention work. So I see people for stress and anger management, for healthy relationships. I talk to a lot of moms and dads that are just becoming parents and they're just struggling with it because it is really, really hard sometimes. What else do? I do all kinds of nice things. I love working with the community. I'm a social butterfly. I think I fly around all over here so people know me. But that is what I do right now. And being a social worker has probably been the bestest and most rewarding career I ever had.
And in addition, you have how many kids?
Two. I have two children.
Yeah.
One goes to Italian school and the other one goes to the DS schools, which is like the American system for school.
And that is cool. That's like a full day from like 6 a.m. to like midnight job.
Yes.
Nonstop.
Nonstop. Nonstop. Grinding all the time. And my husband just got back from a 3-month training. So I've been doing
very normal in the army.
Yeah. So I've been doing the single momming, working full time. Yeah. For a hot minute here.
A lot of the listeners probably are not military related. And I like to emphasize on that part because I think being a military spouse, it's very different from having a husband that just works from, you know, 8 to 5.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, always gone, always busy. Job comes first at times.
Most of the time.
And you can't really determine your schedule because your schedule's not your own, which can be challenging.
Yeah.
On top of not determining your schedule, the pay is set. So you can't just, you know, say, hey, I want a raise unless you get a promotion, you know, or unless you cross rate into something that may pay you for language pay or something. You know, that's something that's really unique in this environment where you can't really negotiate your salary. Your salary is set based on your pay grade.
Yeah. And so, depending where you are too, like here in Italy, there is jobs for spouses here, but not for everybody. So I don't work in, like, I will always be a social worker, right?
Yeah.
But I don't work as a social worker. So my title is actually Family Advocacy Program Education Prevention Coordinator. I know it's such a long thing. I just say I'm a social worker because I am a social worker, right? But there is no social work jobs here if you look at it in reality, right? And this is one of the biggest issue that you see also. It's like the unknown of where we're going to be in 3 years. Like it's the unknown of like, hey, can we go on vacation next year, right? Because we don't know where the spouse is. And managing it all that, even without children, it's hard because Maya is also a formal military spouse. But now the tables have turned.
Yes, well, here we are.
Yeah, and here we are.
That's talking about you, Maya, can you introduce yourself and the podcast and tell all the listeners what you do for the community?
Yes, my name is Maya, and I am the Financial Readiness Program Manager here. So I talk all things financial literacy. If it touches money, I'm probably talking about it. Some of the heavier topics that we like to really communicate to many people within this environment are, okay, what are you doing when you are no longer connected to the military? So my talking can, impact you while you're in, but you're only in for maybe 20 years or less, right? Because we know the majority of the people who join the military do not fully retire. Only about 19% will fully retire from the military.
For the 20 years of service.
20 years of
that
service.
Is a very low percentage.
A very low percentage. So when we talk, we have to keep in mind that the majority of the people that I talk to may not get a pension, which is 20 years of service or more. And we're trying to make sure that when we're talking about transitioning out of the military, we're talking about things in real terms. So we talk about credit management. What does it mean to buy a home when you're attached to the military or outside of the military? What does it mean to manage debt? What is a debt to income ratio? What do creditors look for in terms of a credit score when buying a home or a car? How much does it cost to send my child to school? How much does it cost to buy a home? How much does it cost to pay for certain things? So we're going through the gamut when it comes to money management and making sure that we're maintaining financial literacy. Another topic of discussion is retirement. So how do you plan for retirement? Do you want to retire at the age of 60? Okay, what is your goal for retirement? Do you have a money goal? I oftentimes frame it like this. If you close your eyes and envision where you want to be when you are retired, it's almost like going through the 5 W's. Who are you with? You know, where are you? What are you doing? When are you trying to do this? And why are you not planning for it right now?
We don't plan for it. Like it's so weird because we plan for a career, right?
Right.
We plan for having children.
Right.
But like the retirement is just like a one word, and you just think about like the pension that you're gonna get. There's no other really plan for like, oh, where, like you with the 5 whys. Is it something that is normal or is it just me?
I mean, there are some people who are very engaged in their retirement. Yes, if you do retire from the military, there are some guarantees, right? You'll get the pension, but that is still a fraction of what you make. So if you're trying to plan for your pension, you think of your three highest years of pay while you're in the military, because the military is looking at 36 months. They're looking at that 20-year mark. They're looking at those three highest years of pay, and then they're looking at a multiplier. The multiplier for the new joins, the new accession into the military, have a multiplier of about 2%. The legacy people, the old school people who joined prior to 2018, may be the older system, which is a 2.5% multiplier. So the older system, you're getting 50% of your highest 3 years for life, right? But that's just your base pay. You guys are getting paid more than just your base pay. So if you're looking at your base pay and you're looking at other entitlements that are situated within your pay slip, then you're thinking, okay, yeah, base pay is X amount of dollars, but then you also have your cost of living allowance, right? You may have some subsistence for food. You may also have your overseas housing allowance. Those are not factors into your pension.
Yeah.
The only thing that is factored into your pension is your basic pay. So when you're planning for this, you have to plan for that pay reduction. And when you're going into retirement, you have to think about, how much is my retirement going to cost me? When we're talking numbers, specifically in the US, retirees are currently spending about $4,400 per month, right? Or about $50,000+ per year. Where's that money coming from when you are retired? So sometimes people say, okay, well, I don't want to work when I transition out of the military. I said, okay, but your pension's going to give you about $2,500 maybe. Where's the rest of that money coming from if you need, on average, about $4,500? Where's that rest of that $2,000 coming from?
That's some very deep questions that I will probably have to send my husband to class with you directly. Like, we start planning, because it's good. I mean, yeah. You know, you have to do it, but I think sometimes people are like, oh, I can do it like when I'm closer to retire. Mm-hmm. When in reality, it's much better to start the earliest possible.
100%. When I say time is money, I mean it, because we talk about compound interest, investments. We talk about all these things that can accelerate your wealth. However, if you're not engaging on all cylinders when it comes to planning for your retirement, that time element and that value loss because you haven't created a plan can be the difference between having $100,000 or $1 million, you know? So time is literally money when it comes to planning.
And I know we're really close to Christmas, right? And
we are.
This is something you and I talked about the other day. And I know that we tend to spend so much more during the Christmas time because, I mean, I'll tell you my bad examples that people should not do.
Let's get into it.
Like, I will say, like, okay, I have a limit of the amount that I'm going to spend this year on holidays gifts, right?
Right.
But when it comes and I see something at the store, I'm like, oh my God, that is so cute. I should get it for this person. Or I should get that because I don't know. I think my file language, mine is like, I have to give you something to show you that I appreciate you, even if it's just like a tamal.
Yeah.
Or something like that's just my way for me to show you love, right?
Yeah. So
I think I have a problem spending money.
Yeah.
And I try to like just set aside what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But I always go over the limit. Like, there is some reason why I'm like, Sweetie, take control. Please take control. And then, like, some months I'm really good, and some others I'm like, I overspend. You know, what tips can you give to all of the listeners, especially to me, because I need it the most?
I always say make it difficult for yourself to get to your money. You know, if you have a debit card, and you're able to swipe, or if you have a credit card and you're able to swipe, don't bring the card with you if you're going to potentially put yourself in a position to overspend. You know, I'm a full believer of planning throughout the year. I love that the holiday season brings up this frenzy, a bit of excitement, and people get really gassed about, you know, the holidays. Guys, when has the holiday season changed? It's always been December. So in the US, families are spending about $1,400 every single holiday season.
Are you serious?
Yes. 100%.
I know, I see that too.
I go crazy, but not that much.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I say that to remind people, in the military environment, you may tend to spend a little bit more. Why? You're typically away from family. You may want to fly home or vacation home with your family, get your whole family back to the States. We're overseas. So it can be challenging and expensive. So we're probably throwing off the average in our community. So if you're looking to plan for the holidays, start at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Why start in December? Start in January when you know December is going to come in 12 months. And after you start planning in January for December, at least you're good to go. So if you know that you're going to spend $800, literally bust out your phone, that really expensive handheld computer, take that $800. And I don't say divide it by 12, divide that by 10 and a half. Why? That's going to give you your money mid-October. So that means you're setting aside about $77 per month. Round it up if you'd like, you know, but don't do less than what you think you may potentially spend, because at least you know you're setting yourself up for success. Start in January, be done with it in October, and you'll have your money by Black Friday.
Yep. Yep. That is a good thing. And you know what? I feel like also the military spends a lot of money because they know they have a guaranteed income. You know, within 2 weeks, the next paycheck is going to hit again, right? But I learned from my dad very early on that buying gifts, you can do it throughout the year. So, and this is what I've been doing. Like every time I see like a good deal at the PX, which is kind of like our Walmart, right? For those who not, they don't know what it is. And I see this doll that my daughter, I know that she kind of likes. I know they change throughout the months and stuff, but I know there's something she would appreciate. Yeah. I'm going to buy it then when it's 75% on sale versus me waiting until it goes back up to normal price, because that's what happens, right? With anything you can buy, or like these Robux gift cards or whatever. So I bought some on Amazon when they were like $20 off, and I was like, okay, this $20 is safe right there. And then I have this little room. Don't ever look in it, but like every time I get an Amazon box, I throw it in there, and then no, by December, I have to pull it out. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember buying this. So my holiday spending is actually not as much because I already prepared myself throughout the year for it.
That is a great plan.
Yeah.
I think that people need to develop their own method.
Yeah.
If that method works for you, that is perfect.
Yep.
Find a method that works for you. Not everything has to be cookie cutter.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
I like that you found something that works perfectly for you and your family.
Yeah. But also being a giver, sometimes homemade presents are absolutely so awesome.
That is true.
You know
what? I am planning to make cards
with
like watercolor.
Yeah.
Because I think it's the touch that counts. So I really think that if I give them something that I make myself, and you know, I just invested in the watercolor and the paper, but
yeah, I love
still,
that.
Still something that probably will be more, at least into what I'm
meaningful. Exactly.
And then I thought, like, what could be meaningful. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start this year making something about something that I can make that could be more meaningful than actually buying something that costs so much money. And it could probably, you know, get me out of my budget.
There you go.
That is awesome. And I like it. Or make little vouchers, right? Like you've been wanting to hang out with somebody. It's like, hey, here's a voucher for us having a brioche and a coffee together one day. And then you can like do that, right? So giving gift is a good love language, right? Because you kind of have, you know, you identify this, but it doesn't have to be a costly gift. You can absolutely do something It can be like a homemade card, like you said, or a voucher of like, hey, let's have coffee together. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure I give you a time. Yeah, you should do that.
I really like it. Yeah, you can use it throughout the whole year.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's appreciated because I keep all my Christmas cards. I don't know why, but
I have like this, very meaningful.
I have pictures of people I barely know their first name from, but I got them because they sent me at one point of time in this past 12 years a Christmas card, and I still have it. You know, I keep that. So, yeah.
And talking about the holidays, Nikki, I know that we also talk about this. There's a lot of stress happening during the holidays. You have to cook, you have to clean, you have to get the kids ready, you have to be gifts ready, you have to do so many things in addition to your work, to your daily routine. So what are some tips that you can give us, because we all need it, to keep us calm, to keep us de-stressed from all the holiday, you have to meet in-laws. So, I mean, I don't have to, but I know a lot of people have to. And sometimes it can be stressful because you have to get everything ready for people coming over to your house or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But here's the question. But do I really have to? Do I really have to? I know it sounds easier said than done because everyone wants this perfect Christmas picture having, right? But if you are running on fumes and you're already stressed and then you have to host this big event and is it worth it then at the end? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. So for me, for example, I knew, just going to share a little bit, I knew my husband was going to come home. And I knew when he left, I'm going to organize the basement. That was like my number one priority that I'm going to do it. And I remember Friday, I was like, oh my God, I did not do that at all. I was like, I did not do it at all. And I was like, but did I really have to do it at that time? Mm-hmm. No. Will it organize itself? No, but I will do it maybe with the help of him, right? So I've learned to say, like, is that something I have to do? No. Is it something I really want to do? So it's like making priorities a goal is really important. So some of the things that are, you have to set up the presents for the kids on Christmas morning, right? Like that is like, I have to wrap these presents in my closet. So that has to happen. Yeah. That is a priority. But do I have to have them in perfect little PJs every Christmas? Probably not, because they're going to sleep in it. They're going to outgrow them. And it's just another cost added to the holiday, right? So this is the thing you have to ask yourself. Do I have to do it? Is it that necessarily?
I like to think about it this way because I come from a family where things were done in a certain way. And sometimes I feel like you can get rid of some of those things for your own sanity. But then you're like, are those my traditions? You know what I mean? Because you're fighting against, like, what is a tradition or what do you want to continue being a tradition? Because, like, I know, like, when I first married my husband, the first Christmas we spent together, I was dressed up, like, leaders sparkling, hair done, kids 100% ready. Yeah. And my husband was in pajamas. And I'm like, dude, what time are you going to get ready? Like, it's almost 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. And this is the 24th, because in Panama, we don't celebrate the 25th. We celebrate the 24th midnight.
That's right.
And it's a party. Yeah. It's like a party, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm used to it by tradition, but we're incorporating two different families into one. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, he's like, I'm ready. And I'm like, you're in pajamas. He's like, what's wrong with being in pajamas? I was like, I've never seen anyone in my family being in pajamas on the 24th. This is very weird for me. And he's like, in my family, we don't even celebrate Christmas. Because I was like, oh, okay. So we had to like sit down and be like, oh, so you guys do this and I do that. You know, and now we do like, we came into like kind of like a commitment where one year we're like very laid back in pajamas and rock and rolling. And then the next year we're like salsas on. And, you know, because I feel like it's type of, I don't know, for me it's like memories, you know, and I want to like recreate some of that with my kids because they're like my traditions, but then he doesn't have any memories because he didn't celebrate it, so he wants to be more laid back.
You created your own tradition, so you created your own traditions, right? Like he does it maybe not value as much as you do, but he still does it every other year, right? So that's good. It does not have to be like that, right? I like this word have, because I heard you say it now so many times, like I have. You do not. You do not have to. I mean, for my mom, like, my mom used to bake with us cookies all the time. I am not a baker. I'm going to admit it. I'd rather go to the store and buy the Penny Crocker box for like a dollar and we throw this together, right? So yes, I love the memory for myself, but I can also create other memories that are maybe not as stressful onto me, but still enjoyable for my children. Because that is what you want to do. You want to make these core memories fun and engaging. But
and if- not upset, because I remember some of my Christmas where like people was upset because they were so stressed of having to cook, having to get everything ready. So I think because we carry on this tradition, sometimes we stress ourselves to it and we don't look at the big picture where we're like, oh, well, what I'm under stress right now. Like I'm having to run and do all these things, but like, am I enjoying it too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some of the things I would say is like saying no is a full sentence. I tell people that all the time. You can absolutely say no to some certain things, right? For example, if let's use your dress up. If you really value this and your husband says, you know what, I don't feel comfortable with dressing up, then you just be like, okay, right? Because he said at that moment, this is not what he likes to do. Mm-hmm. I know you cherish this, but you can still do it for you and the children, right? And also delegating work. It does not, again, like think about my example that I just had with like my basement. Like my husband came home and the first thing I said, you know what? I had not had the chance to organize this basement, not because I didn't want to, but it was not in my priority list. And he's like, that's okay. We'll do it together next year. Right. So this is like kind of like this delegating of things that you want to do eventually. You have to say no to things. You have to delegate the work. Right. It's okay if your kids do the Christmas tree and decorate it. It may not look the way you want it to look. I know.
I think it's transferred by parents. I'm sorry, Grandma. But I think I got it from her. Like if I see something out of place, I'm like,
yeah,
that is how
it's actually called OCDP. So we got to add the P on the end because OCDP is like the personality disorder. This is when you want something in a certain way, a certain direction, because it's going to cause you otherwise anxiety. So I know one of my pet peeves is social media. People are like, I have OCD. Like, no, you don't. You have OCDP. You like it in a certain way, a certain place, because otherwise it causes you anxiety. OCD would be if you have to do something over and over again, so it like impacts your ability to function. Like for example, you have to wash your hands constantly and you just wash them and you know you washed them, but your brain is like, no, I gotta keep washing them. Or like checking if the door is closed. Like they keep going and checking if it's like a repetitive behavior that is like impacting the ability.
I will clarify that I have OCD.
Got it.
I know. Just
it's been hard to trying to let go of some of the things that I was forcing myself to because I think I was so used to having that personality in my household that when I became a parent, I started seeing it and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, why am I repeating what my grandma used to do? I always said I didn't want to be like that. Then I'm a parent and here am I doing the exact same thing.
Right.
So it was hard to let go of some of the dirty things in my house. And like, oh, it's okay, Sylvie. It's okay. You know, but I'm getting there. I have more dirty things now. It's an accomplishment. It's an accomplishment.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I always say to parents or even myself is like, that is okay.
Yeah.
Like even to myself sometimes, like everything goes, kids are sick, husband gone, the house is a mess. And then I really like take a deep breath and breathe out and say, that is okay. Because at that time of moment, me getting more worked up about it, it's not going to change the situation. I just have to accept it. And sometimes it's really hard to accept stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if it has been so integrated into you, like, no, this has to be perfect. And this is what we're going to do. And it's a tradition. You can absolutely still value your traditions and do them, but it don't necessarily have to be as strict and enforced, right?
I agree. Because why?
Yeah.
Yeah. We are the drivers of this ship, you know, and I always think about how are you going to set yourself up for success? I think it starts with expectations. Like, what is the expectation and what is the intent behind what it is that you're trying to do? And for me, I don't care about the gifts. It's all about time, you know, time well spent with the people that you care about the most in life. And I think that if you kind of center your intent and your why and each function behind that, then I think that it's going to be a successful time. right? And I think that any time with your family in a safe environment is quality time, right?
Exactly. Like, I'd rather have like a fun time and like a loving time than a stressful environment where it's like, oh my God, we got to do X, Y, and Z. So that is okay. Like, if, let's say the Christmas tree is not decorated the way that is okay. It is really hard to practice that, especially coming from something where you know it has to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. But the more you practice that, just letting go of BS, I'm going to say that, right? It will help you. But it'll just help you so much, like, change and shift your perspective to certain things.
Right.
Some stuff you just can't influence in the time and moment. So it's okay. That's okay, right?
People die out of stress.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, my God. And, like, it does. Like, stress could literally kill you.
Right.
And it was hard to accept that. I think it was hard to accept that I could be probably the main cause of me dying way younger.
What do they say?
Stressing myself out.
You can be your own worst enemy sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, so be kind to yourself, you know, and relax. This is supposed to be a fun time. It's supposed to be a fun season where we just be mindful of our family, our friends, our surroundings, and just be grateful for the air that we breathe, you know, the life that you have, because not everyone has what you have.
I was told my husband, like, you have everything to be happy. Mm-hmm. Let's be happy, please.
I mean, I'm grateful every time I take a hot shower. I'm like, man, that shower was great. It was hot. The pressure was right. There you go.
Yep.
Today's going to be a great day.
Exactly.
You know?
What are some tips for people who are already stressed? Let's say someone is already up to there because Christmas is around the corner now.
Yeah.
You know, where are some tips of people that are already at the top? Like, how can they de-stress?
Okay. So I think one of the things is prioritize it. Write a list down. Get a list. This is number one. If you're a visual learner, a list will always help you. What are some of the top, and I'm saying really, really generously, top three things you want to do for Christmas, right? What are your top three priorities? Not more than that. I wouldn't go, if you're already so stressed, like, I would even say two, but, you know, I'm going to give it three. Write it down. Like, what do you think needs to be done? What can I do that I can delegate to others? For example, your husband, right? Like, use my husband and he can absolutely go pick up the food. Do I have to cook the food or can I order it from somewhere? Like, see avenues where you can make it easier for you. Also easier on the wallet, right? Like, if you don't have to order takeout. whatever is easier, that makes it easier for you. So accept that some things just don't need to be the way they're supposed to be. Where, like, again, tell yourself that is okay, right? Or I listened to a different podcast where somebody says every time there was a hardship, they would say, good. Like, you know, you just lost your job and you're about to lose your house. And they would say, good. But I know it sounds like, why would they say that? Because it's like, good. Now I need to work on what is important, right? Just tell yourself that is okay. Like, okay, we don't have the perfect Christmas tree. I don't have this particular gift that my child wanted, or I just cannot afford it right now. Oh, that's okay. Maybe we can do it next year. Maybe next year we can plan better for this. Or maybe, instead of buying all my friends the expensive Bath and Body hand soaps, I just give them a little voucher of my time because time is precious too. So putting things in perspective, putting down the top three goals that you want to do, and really think about it. Because if I think about my top three goals for Christmas, is A, being with my family, B, eating good food, and C, having a relaxed day. Like, I don't care. I know. I don't care if my husband didn't buy me like something that I have expectations for. I don't care if my kids didn't get that game they wanted, right? What I really care about is just being together with my family and really cherish that togetherness with them, right? So this is, I think, one of the things I would do. Make her a priority list. Have good expectations. Like, don't overwork yourself, delegate work, and say no to things. Like, absolutely no. Just like your husband can say, no, I'm not getting dressed. And then you just have to be like, okay, that's fine. Those are my things. What about you, Maya?
You know, I'm going to echo what you said. Not everything can be a priority, right? If you're saying, I want to see smiles, what's going to bring the biggest smile? Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be high hanging fruit, low hanging fruit. Focus on the high hanging fruit. Like Nikki said, those top three things that really are going to give you the most bang for your buck, right? Make sure that you start that planning now for next year, right? No better time to start than now. And stick to your budget. How do you stick to your budget? Maybe only take out cash and go spend that cash. And once that cash is gone, you're done, right? If you know that you have a budget, stick to it, because only you're going to be the driver of that ship. The budget busters are the ones who continue to swipe after they've exhausted those funds. So unless you can really justify the need, then please, please, please just focus on the smiles, the time together, the intent behind the joy of the season, and it's going to be a good time.
I'm so happy you guys were able to join me today. I'm very grateful for your time.
Oh, yeah.
And let's take that as a Christmas gift.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you, guys. So if you like what you have listening to, don't forget Instagram account and Facebook for more. And don't forget about our new episodes coming next year. Thank you again, Nikki and Maya, for being with us.
You're very welcome. Happy holidays and Happy New Year.
Yes, the same for me. Happy holidays and Happy New Year. Thank you so much for listening. And maybe we can be back on the podcast for the springtime to learn how to finish.
As we go into the year of the dragon.
Yes, we're going to learn about this.
Here we are.
24.
It's going to be a good one.
Yes.
It's going to be a good year.
It's going to be a great year.
Thank you, guys. And thank you
for listening. Thank you.